What is going on? It is the Nintendo PowerCast episode, bonus episode. I think that's what we're going to keep calling these things. We got a very special guest, Mr. Nady Nay Nay Nay. What's going on, baby?
What up? What up? What up?
We were just discussing ahead of time. If we get through this without any swears, it's going to be a Christmas miracle. We joked just before I hit record that this may end up on Patreon exclusively. Right, Nate?
Yeah. It's really hard. I just got to pretend I'm not playing a frustrating game and I'll be good.
There you go. Well, before we jump into this, you guys, I do want to let everybody know about my new company called Immortal Prime. You can go to immortalprime.com. If you have a business that you want to boost your organic traffic to your website or even spruce up your website, hit us up over at immortalprime.com. Of course, the conversation's going strong over in Discord. N64Josh.com/Discord. Come hang out. We've been talking, what's been Mega Man X and Mega Man and
Mario and random stuff.
Oh yeah, all kinds of cool stuff been going down in the Discord over the last few days. So come hang out with us over there. It is a good time. Get some games of Splatoon 3. I know that's Nate's favorite game. It's game of the year for Nate this year. So quick thoughts on Splatoon 3, Nate?
What's that game? I played the free Splatfest. Look, Splatoon, it's fun. What I've played of it, it's fun. You know, I've gotten some free time from Nintendo to, you know, the free download of Splatoon 2 and the recent Splatfest before it came out. It's fun. It's just, I always worry about playing those games because I don't know too many people that play it. So a lot, right? So it's one of those, like, am I going to buy this and only play with multiplayer once a week?
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're spending a lot of time with like Rocket League and stuff, right?
Yes. That's home. Yeah. That's my comfort food.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Well, before Rocket League, you're rocking the Mario Kart shirt, and which I love that shirt. I bought the same shirt, but mine was a double X, so like I get to sleep in that shirt only, I think. Like it's way too big for me. Where does it start for you? NES?
SNES? NES. Yeah.
Yeah.
NES. Right.
Let's hear it.
I don't even know where my grandma got an NES, but I remember playing Mario a lot. Mario was like Super Mario, the original. And the music and just finding, because back then the warp pipes I didn't know of, all that stuff I found out later. And I don't know who showed me. I think it was like a family member or something. But just Mario 1 was like, wow. There's stuff I just remember, like getting the star and then like pausing the game just so I could see all the
different colors.
I love it. I'm Luigi now. Or look,
yes, I did the same thing. I love that.
Yeah, I don't know why that was so appealing, but it was fun just to do stuff like that. And then I found out the warps, and I'm like, but I like the levels, and that goes to like Mario 3. Like, you could beat that game in like 10 minutes, right? And sometimes I like going through all the levels because it's just Mario 3 is the best game, by the way. Best Mario game.
Oh yeah, did you have any special messages for Servant? I can't remember.
He just lies and needs to stop day drinking.
Oh my god, I cannot wait for the Discord message tomorrow morning when he hears this. Go ahead.
No, Mario 3. Did we just pick up from that? The last
episode? Yeah, just.
So the best Marios to me are between 3 and World.
Okay. Yeah, this is the question. This is the question that drives us.
Right.
Is Mario 3 or Mario World the superior game?
And my answer is, you can always like build upon something that's successful, right? I mean, Mario 3 started the overworld and the crazy amount of secrets and warping and all that stuff. And so you could always, Mario 3 was like the first. Anytime something's the first, you can always improve on that or get worse. But Mario 3 to me is just like, from the music. You got the music, the whole overworld, the inventory, the just the different themed worlds. It was amazing. It was amazing when I first started playing that.
The wizard.
The wizard throwing the PlayStation buttons at you.
Yeah. No, I mean the movie.
Oh, the wizard. Mario.
Kamek?
Yeah, Kamek. That's because he didn't come out in three, huh?
I think he was in World.
Yeah.
Throwing the PlayStation buttons at you.
That's why I don't like that one. No.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But World, to me, World feels short. Every time I play it, I'm like, it feels super short. I think there's like four worlds, right? Four or five? There's a lot of secrets to find.
There's eight. There's seven castles. Yeah. Oh,
plus the star levels and then...
Yeah, there's like 99 levels, I believe.
Yeah, it feels short for some reason.
To me, it feels short because it's one of those games I could play through every level, find every secret. Like, I played way more World than 3. I never owned 3. As a kid, I never owned it. I'd only borrow it.
Interesting.
Yeah, never. I always want. It was like, I got 1 with the NES. I got 2 during the chip shortage. Right. I had like saved birthday money and left it in my mom's purse and was like, anytime she was going anywhere that might sell it, she'd come back empty handed till that one summer day. Like, I think that game launched in 88. I didn't get it till 89, I think, something along those lines. And so
it was amazing too.
I loved it. I loved it. It was so much nostalgia.
Even at work, I hum the
all the time. Yep. Same here. Yeah. Almost on a daily basis, I'm humming those tracks.
So. I think that's the only one that has that same song going throughout the whole game, right?
You're the only, yeah. Thank you, Doki Doki Panic. Right.
Hey, it says Mario 2 on the box.
In Japan, it says Mario USA.
When I was playing, I never said Doki Doki. We didn't know that.
Yeah, but what's funny, like, as soon as... I'm gonna call out Crawler here, but like, we saw a Japanese player in Splatoon and he's like, great, we're done for. And I'm just like, this is why we got Mario 2, right? Because they are the superior gamers.
Gotta restrain myself.
So, but yeah, like, it's so funny to me that you mentioned like the warp pipes and like pausing when you had the Starman, because I used to do that same stuff, and I'm with you. Like, I just played through levels. And then it was like, you remember when like you were introduced to the negative world? Did you ever go there? Like,
no, I'm on one.
Yes.
I never.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Isn't that where you get like the, it kind of is like, it's a glitch, right? It kind of glitches.
In 1-2, you would jump a certain way and it would glitch you through the wall.
Yeah.
And then the pipe would take you to a swimming world that never ended.
Yeah, I've only done that to when I was an adult. I never found that out when I was a kid.
Yeah, any of that stuff, like the playground, Nintendo Power, whatever it was, like, you know, Link has a gun, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, he never had a gun. But yeah, it was a different time, right? So that kind of stuff was... It was so interesting and so like, wait a minute. Cause I think I remember finding them, you know, in World 1-2, but had no idea about the ones in 4 until like a friend found them or something like that. So
that was like such like a, like when you got showed that stuff, it was like, like then you wanted to run home and play more. Like with Super Mario 2, when you get the potion, and then you throw it and then you get that. You can go in that vase or whatever.
Yeah. The pipes that look like, yeah.
You're like, that warp pipe's right there.
Mm-hmm.
I love Mario, man. That means so much is like just growing up Mario. Because it was always been like a two-player game. Yep. Not simultaneously, right? But
not until later. It got crazy. Yeah.
Which I never got into those, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
But yeah, the NES and the... And Mario is like just super cool. The music and like just saying, oh, I got farther than you, blah, 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 you know?
I remember the day I got it, Christmas Day. We had to eat lunch before my dad would set it up. He finally got it hooked up. More than likely, there's a good chance I probably ended up hooking it up because I was just like, they being like 6, 7, 8 years old. They were like, "Yo, we bought a VCR." I'm like, "I got you." You know, like, like it was like one thing to screw. You know, and then yeah. I remember getting my own TV and like having to get special adapters so I could hook, like, because you have to unscrew the rabbit ears and then, like, you know, mm-hmm. and that had to hook to the Nintendo. Like, yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. But like, I remember like getting to World 1-2 and dying. I was playing with my uncle and he was getting way further. And I was like crying. I was so mad that I couldn't get any further and I was out of lives and I just had to watch. Like, it was, and he's like, I talk about it in my book. Actually, he's like, "Yo, man, just enjoy the journey. You're going to get better the more you play."
Doesn't that suck that the brothers just abandon each other? Like, he could be at level 8 and you're still dying on that first Goomba. Yeah, what kind of family is that?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So now I know as much as Mario has a special place in your heart that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles do as well.
Oh, and big time.
Did you get to play? Did you play? What was your history with some of those games on the NES?
Well, definitely the original Hard as Nails one. I almost said something else.
Good job. Take a drink, everybody. He didn't swear.
Jeez. I feel like I'm trying out. It's weird because I have to like slow down because sometimes I just say stuff.
It just happens. Yeah, I know. I've been there with you.
But yeah, that Hard as Nails one that you lose all your turtles in the first.
In the dam.
Yeah. And that one was so frustrating.
How far did you make it in that one?
Not far. I probably made it to, where's that? What level was that with the cheat with the Donatello where you could just hit rock steady from the top?
In the sewers or something, right?
Yeah. About right there. I couldn't. That was hard. And I always wondered why they were all their bandanas were red.
Right.
On the
box
thing,
art?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Is it comics like that?
The original Turtles were all red, yeah.
Were they? I thought just because they were black and white.
They were black and white, and then now I'm second guessing, but I'll have to go open it up. I have like the reprint of the first handful of comics, and so I know they were definitely black and white, but I want to say it was tied to the comics as well. Now you got me second guessing myself. So
most likely, I mean,
I'm gonna bust out the Google machine here real quick while we're chatting.
Plus, that company wasn't known for the best games in the world, right? Was it LJN?
Ultra, which was a,
was it Ultra?
Ultra was the publisher because it was Konami's. They were only allowed to like put out a certain number of games on the NES per Nintendo's rules. So then they created sister companies. So Ultra was the publisher, but I think you might be right on the developer.
Yeah, LJN was like a toy company or something, and they got busted because they made like real looking guns or something for kids to play with. It was.
Let's see. I'm looking up. Why are the turtles' headbands all red? In the original comics, all four turtles had red bandanas. There we go.
Oh, okay. All right. So
that's
I thought it was black and white too, so they just kind of filled it in. Maybe
they were initially for sure because the comics that I have, they're all black and white. But I think on the cover of that reprint, I think they're all in red also.
Got you. Yeah, Turtles meant the cartoon, man. That meant so much to me. That was like one of those get home and before I do homework, it was like watch Turtles.
Of course. So looking at the, looks like a, yeah, they're all in red. Looking at like a, I believe this is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now this says Color Classic, Volume 1. It's not the one I'm looking for though. It's not the one that I have because I think the shading. Oh yeah, no, here it is. Here is the comic that I have, like the reprint, and they do all have red.
That's crazy.
They do.
That's crazy.
You all have red. So that's, I'm like, oh, great. Cause I know that you, once you said black and white, I'm like, no, you're definitely right. They were, the original comics were black and white. So, just their art style is so different. Their little tails that were totally inappropriate. Like just hilarious. Hilarious. So the first game, you know, played that one, but how much did you play the arcade game?
The arcade game? Well, see, I played the arcade game in the arcade. And I was like, wow, this looks so good. And it was like, you know, that and The Simpsons were like go-to
for sure
for me. Yeah. And then they put it on the NES. And you get home, you're like, well, it doesn't look like the arcade, but it still played great.
Okay.
You know, it was I had fun with it. I never played the one where it's
like Tournament Fighter?
Street Fighter. Yeah, Tournament Fighter. And then but then after the NES, well, okay.
Did you do Manhattan Project, the third game?
No. I'll tell you why in a second.
Okay.
but yeah, because I was a traitor and I went with that black system.
Well, Manhattan Project was NES.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah,
they definitely didn't play that.
So did you pick up Cowabunga Collection?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, you're in for a treat when you do.
Yeah, there's a couple like Game Boy games I never played. Turtles in Time, I played the heck out of that.
Attaboy. So then Hyperstone Heist, though, if you had the Genesis?
Yeah, I played Hyperstone, which is pretty similar, right? Just a couple of switches here and there. Because Nintendo's threatening. You can't put the same game on another system.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Silly, silly Nintendo. Oh.
With Mario, my dad always said, I'll buy you another game if you could beat Super Mario Brothers. And that never happened because I couldn't beat it as a kid. Once you get to like world, I don't remember where like my most common when I died when I was probably like 5.
Okay.
Because I was born in 86.
Okay.
So I started playing probably when I was like 4 or 5-ish. And it was really, Mario was hard. That's why I like to pause and look at the different colors. No,
I get it.
but yeah, he was like, I'll buy you another game only if you beat this. And I was like, all right. And I tried and I tried and I tried. And I was like, I got farther. He's like, all right, we'll rent you a game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then he brings home a harder game, Ninja Gaiden, one time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he used to like rent games and like hide him in his like his belt.
Okay,
so I go to like hug him and be like, "Dad, whatever," you know. And I'd feel it. I go, and I'd take it out of his belt and be like, "Oh, what is this?" Open it. And it was like Ninja Gaiden and stuff.
Yes, which you were probably so excited to see a ninja, and then you were like, "Oh man, what have I got myself into?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he kind of burned himself because a couple of times he came home and he walked in and was like, "Dad," and I went, "Boom." And I punched him in the stomach and he didn't rent anything.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But yeah, after NES, I went to Genesis and my mom still called it a Nintendo.
Love it.
But I was like, Genesis, mom. But which was kind of cool because my cousin had the Super Nintendo. Sure. I had the Genesis. And that like worked. We, my family always planned it like that. Like I got the 64, he got a PlayStation.
Okay.
And, but the Genesis, he would always have to be Tails, of course, which I just leave him off the screen.
Right. You're always Luigi.
Until I needed to fly somewhere.
Huh? Were you always Luigi?
Yeah, I was always Luigi.
I gotcha.
Yep. Yep. And that's when I played World.
Sure.
And World was a blast.
Yeah.
Turtles in Time was a blast. I mean, we stayed up, I don't know, countless hours.
Yeah.
Countless. And then we'd switch everything. I'd take my Genesis to his house. He'd bring a Super Nintendo. Yep. The parents were always all pissed off at us because we never put any of the VCRs or hook anything back.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So that was that was me too. I had a good buddy who we would, he was a couple years younger than me. He had the Genesis when I had the Super Nintendo, and then he eventually got both of them. But before he got the Super Nintendo, I would always bring mine over. And his parents just did not care. Like, they just did not care. There was no limits to how much we could play. It was like the, we'd be back there playing in his room, and they would, like, his mom would come in and be like, here's snacks, boys, you know, like, here's the, yeah, like, whatever. I don't even know what I don't even know if they had pizza rolls back then. I don't think those came out until, like, I was like in eighth grade or something. But, like, you know, it was always like a can of Pringles or just some, you know, here's some soda and snacks, keep having fun. She's just like so glad we're not bugging her, basically, you know, like, that's,
yeah, that's how it was for us on like Saturdays, you know. Yeah. we'd build forts, and then inside the forts we'd play.
Oh, that's awesome.
We'd play stuff. But yeah, we got yelled at so much, like, why isn't my VCR working? Oh, yeah. Or
I remember my power supply went out on my Super Nintendo, and my parents were not that interested in helping me. And I would call the Nintendo 1-800 number, like, on the regular. I'm like, look, I plugged this in. I think what I did, because I'm trying to remember my buddy not having his Super Nintendo, but I think he always had it. And I'm like, why did I bring mine over? Well, I needed a test to see if my stuff still worked with his, and sure enough, it did. So then I'm calling Nintendo, and they were able to, like, I had to, like, get my parents' credit card and have them send me a power supply, because that's all it was. That was all that went out, was
troubleshooting.
Even as a kid, it's been something I've always done my whole life. Like, but yeah, when it came to my, you know, the only time I couldn't play is if I got grounded. So when this thing's busted, I'm losing my mind, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what do you want me to hook up the NES after the glorious 16-bit? I can't do this. What do you mean? So,
yeah.
You know, I still have this Turtles. I still have the Turtles stuff opened. And from the looks of it, comic book number 4,
mm-hmm,
is the cover of that NES game.
Is it?
Yes.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. Comic book number 4 is the... is the cover of the NES game. I'm literally learning this right now, as, like, I just happened to glance over and I'm like, wow, that's the artwork. So,
wow. So it wasn't just like negligent, like, nah, whatever, let's just make them all red.
No, they were great. I sent you the link so you can check it out after we're done here. But
cool.
Yeah. So that's actually pretty cool. That, yeah, is pretty interesting. So you said you got the 64. Mm-hmm. Before we jump in there, though, are there any other SNES games that, you know, we talked World, we talked Turtles,
Bomberman.
Okay. And you've mentioned Bomberman before, like, yeah, when you picked that up. Did you pick that up right away when the Switch dropped too?
No, I never got that. Problem with Bomberman is finding people to play Bomberman.
Yeah, I get you.
You know what I mean? That was more like a family time. And Like my dad didn't really play games. I had to be like, come on, just come on. And he'd sit there in a controller. I'm like, and then you use reverse psychology on him. Like, it's because you'd have sucked. That's why. Or if you beat me, I'll wash your truck or what, you know.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, he loved Bomberman. I don't know what it was, but that's one of those nostalgic games for us. Mm-hmm. Never had the quad ports, right?
So, oh yeah, like, of
you
course.
Play winner, because my mom and my dad divorced, and he went with he got with somebody else, and she had a kid already. So she kind of liked Bomberman. He liked Bomberman. We all liked Bomberman. So it was like a little tournament type of situation. So
that's pretty rad.
Yeah, Super Bomberman 2. That was fun, man. That was a fun game. I guess I've always been like lean multiplayer stuff. That's what I feel like. Besides, like, Mario's.
Were you big into any fighting games?
Yeah. More in the arcade, not on console.
Okay.
Like Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. I got really into that when I turned into a teenager, because you know, people would do the sweep kick, sweep kick, sweep kick, or a duke, and a duke, and you shove them off the arcade, like, you give them a shove, like, stop doing that.
No, the Super Nintendo became practice for me, like Super Street Fighter 2. Like, I mean, I had a neighbor kid who I would borrow that game all the time. I had the first one, got that for Christmas when I got the Super Nintendo, ripped into it immediately because my parents were like, no fighting games. And I was like, sorry, but this one's not getting returned. This is my favorite game. So
you got to also remember, I had to push start to switch to kicks.
Oh, so, that's right. You needed the special six button. I loved, like, you mentioned Mortal Kombat, though. And like my buddy that I was talking about, we would always hook up the, like, we would rent, you know, I think I might have owned Mortal Kombat because I could convince my mom. I'm like, it's sweat, not blood, you know, that kind of thing. And but yeah, we would always do all the finishing moves and turn the blood on and all that stuff. Like,
yeah, there was a blood code, right?
I believe so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it worked. So
all that time is so like blurry, but I remember stuff that stands out, like Mortal Kombat. I'm like, what did I play that more on? My cousins? Because like I was saying, when my dad got not remarried, but you know, with this, we'll just say his wife, she had a Super Nintendo, and so it's all like kind of intertwines, like the Genesis, Super Nintendo, and the. It was all like kind of in that same time. So I don't remember if I owned it or if it was on Genesis or.
Yeah. I hear you. I just, one of the ones that sticks out the most is Mortal Kombat 2. When that finally dropped, everybody was on an equal playing field. You know, I think the SNES had a little bit, like, it just looked a little bit better, ran a little bit smoother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we actually hooked that one up to the projection TV out in the living room. Which you can, you know,
that's awesome.
Like, I'm dating myself right now, but like at his house, I remember like pulling off all the finishing moves with Baraka and Kung Lao and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
We would play that for hours. That and Lethal Enforcer. You remember that with the red and blue gun? Do you remember? Did you ever play
those? Why does that sound familiar?
So it was an arcade game. Where you know, you shot at the, like, kind of like House of the Dead or one of those.
Like Terminator, but, right? Because Terminator was on.
Like Terminator, yeah. But Lethal Enforcer, you had a red and, or
yes,
a, like a blue and red six shooter. And he had them for the Super Nintendo. And dude, we would play Lethal Enforcer for.
Yeah, you were cops.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, yeah.
Well, yep. And you were the judge and the jury in that game.
That's, I'm trying to think. They're so like, cause my mom, we got a roommate at the house and he had a Super Nintendo.
Okay.
So it's like, I remember playing, was it Mortal Kombat 2 or 3? When did Sector, the red and the yellow dude, and Smoke? I think that was 3.
I think it was 3. Yeah, I think.
So that's the one I played a lot of.
Gotcha. Okay. It was a fantastic game also, though. Like,
yeah.
Loved those games. Did you ever mess around with the Super Scope much? I don't feel like we talk about the Super Scope much. And
no. When it came to like the accessories and stuff, to me, that's like what the PSVR is going to be.
I see.
It's way out of the price range.
So I had the Super Scope. And it was, you know, you talked about like a family time. We would all, like, there was these different modes where you'd have to shoot missiles as they were going across the screen. Or you, like, it was like whack-a-mole and you just shoot the mole. Right? I mean, this thing's big. It's like a bazooka, right? Like,
I've seen it, yeah.
Like, it was so fun. My sister was born, my last sibling. She got teeth. And she chewed the end. The way the scope worked is you looked through one down to the tinier one that had a smaller hole. And that's how you did all your targeting. And she chewed it off.
Wow.
And there was nothing I could do about it. There was just not, and I remember, like, you know, I'm probably like 10, 11 years old, maybe 12. Wow. And I'm just like, well, no, yeah, I'd have been 12. She was like 2. And I was like, I'm writing this down and you are paying me back. when you can, because I am not happy about this. I mean, I still like, yeah, I'm still a little sad, because it was like, I love that thing. And it was something we all did together. And she just got a hold of it and just chewed the end of it right off. And I'm like, it's game over. It's game over.
One of my Joy-Cons is like that.
We're just going to leave it at that. Just,
yep.
Just okay. Fair. So let's talk 64 then. Before we do, we're going to get a quick word from our sponsors. Okay. Let's talk 64. So what, you know, you got the 64, your cousin got the PlayStation.
Yep.
What was your jam? I'm guessing GoldenEye.
What makes you say that? GoldenEye over Perfect Dark.
GoldenEye over Perfect Dark?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. That is a hot take.
And that's just personal, because the amount of time dumped into GoldenEye, because Perfect Dark came out in like 2000, right? Toward the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
GoldenEye was like 97. So I just have way more memories. That's not bashing Perfect Dark, because Perfect Dark was cool. I've always preferred like normal guns.
Okay. Versus futuristic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Understand.
That's number one. I mean, Perfect Dark, you had, you know, dialogue and all that stuff.
Right.
You didn't have to read.
My favorite is the kill, like when you'd kill them, they're like, why me?
Why me? I just played it. That's why.
Yeah. So, okay. Here's the thing. Maybe, and I got to start asking this question, but I vividly remember being in an elevator in Perfect Dark, looking down and seeing Bowser's face. And I've never seen or heard anything about this ever. So I'm going to start asking people, and maybe somebody out there can be like, oh yeah, I remember seeing that too. But I remember looking down and seeing Bowser's face in an elevator. And Okay. All right. Well, I need to just fire up the game and just go through it and just check the floor of every elevator. But
I'm sure Microsoft ripped that right out.
I'm pretty sure. I'd have to pull out my original cart for that one. But
yeah, I don't remember that.
But GoldenEye for you.
Yeah, GoldenEye. GoldenEye had like, dude, I spent so much time. I mean, Mario 64 first, right? I mean, that was
amazing. I can't say because I didn't beat it until like 3 years ago. So
that's right, on your stream.
Yeah.
But yeah, GoldenEye had just, you know me, I don't really care for story, but I never seen the movie, you know. Wasn't like a big fan of 007. It was just the game that got me.
I see.
And I don't know how many times like I tried to unlock cheats. Like I played so much trying to unlock cheats in that game, like the DK mode and the
right.
Facility one was like the hardest. That was for the invincibility. And you had to beat it within like 2 minutes and 15 seconds or something outrageous.
Yeah, it's called Game Shark.
No.
No, really. That's like, I had everything unlocked because of Game Shark.
Just when I looked up to you.
Do you know what I used it for the most?
Multiplayer?
Hacker. You could, yes, you could, it wouldn't give player one an advantage. You could play multiplayer on the last level on the satellite.
I do remember that.
With Game Shark, you could do the last level, and you could dual wield all the weapons, but it would crash the system because it'd run out of memory.
Yeah, sounds like 64.
Yeah.
See, GoldenEye was just so like, because it was like Perfect Dark came after, and that goes back to like Mario 3 and then Super Mario World, right? Like GoldenEye was the foundation, and it was something so good, you can always just make it better. And that's what Perfect Dark is. It's hard to compare the two when they're pretty much the same game, right? I mean, controls and, but
it was just the biggest thing was the Sims in multiplayer. Like I didn't have to just dominate my uncle over and over again. We could actually, we could set up like a dark turtle sim and play it. We would do like the Friday the 13th game, right? We would do it back on the 64 days, just playing against a dark turtle sim because those things were damn near impossible to kill.
And we did that too.
But just one versus two or three.
Cool. Yeah, we used to do that. Like, cause my dad, like I said, he never played. And I think my dad brings up a lot of like memories when it comes to these games too, right?
Sure.
So like GoldenEye, we would play, and of course I'd, you know, demolish him all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Me and my stepbrother. But man, when we kill him, once that blood starts coming down the screen and you're sitting next to him, it's Charlie Horse Central. He just would beat the hell out of us. Bam, bam. Every single time we died, or he died. And then you set up the proximity mines.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Do you remember how to get into the vents in the facility?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go to the corner of the toilet and, you know, spin around.
Right. Yeah.
He would sit there thinking he could hide from me. He's like, come in the bathroom. And spin my way back up into the vents and karate chop.
Oh, that's so good.
One of my memories is like him putting me to bed. And he's like, you got to go to sleep. And I'm like, all right. So I go to sleep and I wake up to go like the bathroom in the like super early in the morning, like 3-4. And he's sitting there playing GoldenEye. And like not really playing, but in the corner as the troops just run in and just shooting. He did that for hours and hours and hours. I don't know if he loved their falling animations and all that stuff. It was
right.
I mean, he was just sit there literally.
Just back into the corner, just shooting range.
Yep.
That's amazing.
And you know, the multiplayer. The GoldenEye was so good that they had to put GoldenEye maps in Perfect Dark.
Right. Yeah, no question. No question. The temple, the facility.
And Complex.
Yeah, and Complex, which I never played. I've never cared for that map.
Really? That was our go-to.
Because really?
Different levels. Yeah, because the different levels and the... Oh, plus, screen cheating was such a cool...
Oh, yeah.
And they had that, like, see-through wall where it goes into, like, a... Or it wasn't... Is it a wall in Perfect Dark or is it a wall in GoldenEye?
Like a vent, right?
Yeah, you could walk through it and you go into a little like sniper area or whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why we liked Complex. And then
I think the library was our probably most played one, where you could go up on what would happen is I'd get up there with an RCP-90 and I'd play against my wife, which I think we were just dating at the time. So her dad and her sister. And all I would hear is he's perching again. It was like camping back in but camping wasn't really a thing yet. And,
yeah.
And so they would always say, oh, he's perching again. I'd be up on the on the ledges, just shooting down as they'd walk into the room. And I just run. I'd know they'd be spawning. I'd look on their screen. I'd run over to the other room, shoot down. And it was always I think the library didn't allow you to go down into the basement. So it kept us all. Cause remember depending on which one you picked, you'd have the upstairs or the downstairs or both of them. And it was like, this is way too big for four people. Like when it's that opened up. So
you had the library and then another level, multiplayer level was the basement. Yeah.
And then I think one of them combined the two and you're just like, this is way too big. Like this is way, way too big. So, but yeah, usually power weapons, you know, get the RCP-90,
to avoid the RCP-90. I always played License to Kill. I always like that more than the normal mode.
Just that's one. That's like SWAT, right?
Yeah. I think that just comes from like letting my dad get the RCP-90 or people that suck at the RCP-90. I used the DD4 or whatever it was called.
Right. I think we used to call it the dust oven, even though it was like the Destabel or something that. We just always came up with different names. Yeah. The claw was the worst. Like it was it was just the worst. It was like, it was like a gun you had to wind up or something. It was so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. GoldenEye has a lot of memories, man. That was fun. A lot of black eyes, a lot of busted faces with playing with friends.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I gave a lot of Charlie horses, no question. Like, mm-hmm. there were, I don't remember anybody really beating me, honestly, like in the within my friend circle, right? But then I don't, like, I remember going to like a youth group one time, and like I found like my rival, and I was like, oh, what? Like like what is going on here, you know? So yeah. I think that was the first time I was introduced to the proximity mines at all the spawn points. And I was like, oh, this is next level dirty right here. Okay. I see. I understand now.
I think I found that out by going to like N64.com or something.
Right.
Way back in the day. Yeah. That was IGN, right?
It was. Yeah.
That's crazy. But my grandma was the only person that had internet. You know, I'd dial up and look up tips for multiplayer on GoldenEye,
right?
Yeah,
on like what was the like Yahoo?
Yeah, not Google. It was like Yahoo, or
I always used Dogpile because it like took all of the search engines and put them together. Like, I think it still exists.
There's a couple of those. It was like Spider or something. It was just it assembled all of them.
Ask Jeeves.
Huh?
Ask Jeeves. Remember, they were like,
oh, I thought you said, I thought you said something cheese. That's a different website.
Totally different website. Don't go there. Don't go there. What other 64 games did you get into, like Wave Race or the wrestling games?
Yeah, Wave Race, the wrestling games were another one. Those are still the best wrestling games I played. And I wasn't even into wrestling.
They got me into wrestling, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
playing Goldberg and then going and watching Goldberg. And I know some people just hate Goldberg, like love him or hate him. Like I just enjoyed his like long streak and, you know, and, but yeah, we would play that game. It was so fun to do the Royal Rumble, and then you could play a different character. You know, you didn't know who you were going to get. It was just always random.
Yeah. No. Was it the first one was the WCW
World Tour?
Okay.
WCW World Tour, then WCW versus NWO.
Okay.
And then WrestleMania 2000, and then WrestleMania No Mercy.
I think No Mercy is the one we played a lot because the
had cage matches and character creation. And yeah.
And WrestleMania, the wrestling games in general were great. Man, what am I? I'm trying to think. Blast Corps, I played the hell out of that because that was one of those games I'm by myself.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what I was doing.
I get it. Yeah. What about like Turok? Turok 2?
Any of those? I had games? Turok. I didn't really get into Turok too much.
Okay. I could see the first one was a little bit like kind of not to say the word niche, but kind of niche. And
yes, we got it.
But the second one is where they sold me. I was just like, yo, this is like a cinematic experience, honestly. Like it was pretty impressive for what it was back in the day. I remember I got the year I got Turok 2, I also got surround sound for Christmas. And I was in my bedroom and I hooked it up and I heard raptors behind me. And I literally jumped and turned. I was just like, what is going on right now? You know? So
yeah. Turok 2, I remember playing. I think I have it actually still.
Mm-hmm. Black card.
I have that. Wasn't there a Clay Fighters? We played that.
Yeah, Clay Fighter 64. Yeah, okay. I think that one's worth a pretty penny if I remember right.
Don't tell me that. I'll sell that right now.
Let me double check, but I think it is.
I played so many like rented games that like I really liked but never bought too. Like, but Mario Party 2 was my jam.
So it's a special. So do you have the sculptor's cut?
No.
For Clay Fighter?
Possibly.
Okay. If you do, it's worth a grand.
Stop it.
I'm not joking.
I might have to check.
Yeah. Now this may be sealed, right? Like, because they had 63 and a third was Clay Fighter 63 and a third. And then, it looks like
I'm pretty sure I don't have like anything special.
Yeah, Sculptor's Cut is going anywhere from like a good condition, authentic, to, I mean, as high as $1,200. So by itself, just like the loose price, $1,000. complete, 3,700.
Who would ever thought?
New? If you had a new copy of this game, $12,000 almost. Graded is almost $13,000. Just the box alone, just the cardboard, $1,700. And just the manual, $2,100.
That's stupid.
I think what, if I remember correct,
that's crazy.
If I remember correctly, it's because it was like sold only at Best Buy. I'm sorry, not Best Buy. I was thinking Blue. Blockbuster. I want to say it was a Blockbuster exclusive.
I wonder.
Yeah, here it is. Clay Fighter Cut, the Nintendo Switch, was originally exclusive to Blockbuster chain of video game rental stores. Because of this, it is one of the rarest N64 games.
A lot of my games were rented but not returned.
You may be spitting on one of the rarest. We are going to need a follow-up on this.
I doubt it, but
if you have Sculptor's Cut is what it's called. I mean, bro, here is a, oh my, this is on eBay right now. Complete in the box.
I definitely don't have the box.
$150,000 is what it's going for on eBay.
Oh my God, I almost cussed.
Do I buy Sculptor's Cut or a Ferrari? I'm not sure which.
A house.
Which do I get?
A house.
And it's coming from Kuwait.
$150,000 for a game.
Yeah. That's bonkers, dude. That's absolutely bonkers. But dude, you could be sitting on one of the rarest, especially if you kept a lot of Blockbuster games. This is amazing. I cannot wait. We're gonna have to do it. You're gonna have to dig that stuff out. Is it easy to find? You know where it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, okay. I know where it's at. I have a whole bunch out there.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Okay. I can't.
I'm probably the reason Blockbuster closed, to be honest.
Probably, right? Yeah. I remember some guy had my same name and middle initial, first, last name, middle initial, and he'd always rent stuff and give me late fees. I'm like, that's not me. Quit putting them on my account. Like, quit it. Just quit it. So, okay. So, what any other notable 64 titles, or do we
Mario Kart, of course?
Okay. All right. Diddy Kong. That's always like
Diddy Kong was awesome too. I think I have that.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. South Park.
So okay. Bad.
Yeah. Conker. Did you do Conker?
Oh yeah. I have Conker too.
That one's worth a fair amount.
Am I sitting on a gold mine of video games here?
Some of them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know the exact price of Conker.
It's probably like 40 or something like that. No.
No, it's more than that. Well, wait a minute. Now that's strange. Usually I see it going for a lot more. That's very strange. Yeah. If you have the box and stuff, it can be as high as like $250. But let's see. Here we go. Yeah, no, I don't know what these must be. These are fake ones. If it's an authentic one, you're looking at $120 and up.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the retro game prices right now are ridiculous. Time Splitters, you know, as we get into the GameCube, Time Splitters 3, Future Perfect or whatever is, It's going for 120 right now.
Wow.
On GameCube.
That's crazy.
Time Splitters 2, $20. Time Splitters 3, 120. Like, it's wild. But see, by that point, that game on Xbox had online. So I didn't buy it on GameCube. I bought it on Xbox so I could play with my friends.
Right. Yeah.
Which means it did not put as many of those games out in the wild.
That's, I don't know, man. I don't understand how stuff like that inflates with, I mean, they're still like games, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
supply and demand, baby.
Yeah. This is why I don't want physical, because people just want that stuff. I mean, I don't mind physical. I like physical, but I also don't mind digital. And you get people that want physical only, and it's like, well, like, yeah, but then this happens. And people, you know, it doesn't circulate. People just want it, and they hoard games and then never touch them. So what's
I don't know what you're talking about. Why? Like, I feel attacked right now. What is going on here? Don't talk to me about my unopened Fire Emblem right now, or my unopened Alive. Just leave me alone, okay? just leave me alone. My unopened Cowabunga collection. You don't know me.
See, what had happened was, I was just talking out of my neck.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Okay. I tell you what, we're almost to an hour. I think we need to do a part two, and we need to find out which Clay fight. We're going to leave everybody like, this is like same bat time, same bat channel. You got to dig out some of your collection, and then we'll finish up with the GameCube, the Wii U, and the Switch next time.
That's going to be fast. Yeah, that's good. That's going to be fast. Cause I didn't own one of those.
But we get to talk about your collection that you still have, which is going to be a lot of fun. So
I haven't gone through that in forever. So it'll be kind of funny to go through that. All my NES and Super Nintendo and all that stuff.
Yes. Yes. Okay. This is going to be cool. So guys, thank you so much for listening. We do have the Patreon now. If you want to be able to get ad-free versions of the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/NintendoPowerCast. We have a few different tiers. Tier one is like $5 a month. That gets you the shows without any ads. For $10 a month, you also get NPC Wired, which is us going off the walls. So make sure to check that out as well. Nate, thank you for being here. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
In the Discord, for sure. Always chatting it up in there.
Oh yeah.
Twitter, it's everything's Nady Nay. You know, Switch code will be in the Discord because that's just they haven't gone to tags yet.
Yeah, not yet.
but Nady Nay on everything. Nady Nay.
Cool. Awesome. All right, man. Well, thank you so much. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye now.